This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, the head of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights is leaving her post. First this. Here in California, the jury in the Scott Peterson trial wants him to be executed. It already found him guilty of murdering his pregnant wife and yesterday said he should be put to death for that crime. A juror identified as Rochelle told reporters how she made up her mind about sentencing for Scott Peterson.
A big part of it was at the verdict, no emotion, no anything. That spoke a thousand words. Today, the giggles at the table, loud and clear.
Slate and Day to Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick spoke about Scott Peterson's case earlier with our colleague Noah Adams.
So, Dahlia, the jury has voted unanimously for the death penalty for Mr. Peterson. Does it follow then that he will be executed?
Not necessarily, Noah. First of all, the judge himself has the option to decrease the sentence to life in prison without parole at a February 25th sentencing hearing. But more urgently, Peterson sort of joins a massive glut of over 600 inmates who are currently on California's death row awaiting execution, of whom only 10 have ever been executed since 1978 when the death penalty was reinstated in California. So the sort of machine of capital punishment in California is so very, very slow and very unwieldy that it's far more likely, according to a report in the AP yesterday, for a prisoner to either commit suicide or be murdered on death row than actually be executed by the state.
The logistical and practical matters aside, tell us how California differs when it comes to a death penalty turning into an eventual execution. What are the differences with the other states?
Simply, no, California is just much less eager than any other of the 38 states that have the death penalty to execute someone. The last execution that happened in California was in 2002. That was of someone who committed his crime in 1980. California has an elaborate set of procedures to protect death row inmates, to offer them the best possible defense they can. So, for instance, in your state appeal in California, you will often sit and wait for years before you even get an attorney the state deems qualified enough to take your appeal to the state Supreme Court. After your state appeals are exhausted, that you then have the benefit of being in the jurisdiction of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for your federal appeal, and the Ninth Circuit is a court that is more likely than not to overturn a death sentence.
Let's go back to the trial itself and the jury. It was said that the jury was inclined, just based on observation, this jury was inclined to vote for execution even before the penalty phase of their consideration opened up. What does that indicate about this so-called bifurcated trial system with the separate guilt and penalty phases?
I think it essentially bears out what sort of social science data has already said, which is that jurors mostly make up their minds at the guilt phase, not at the penalty phase, whether or not they're going to vote for execution. And that jibes with what this jury did. This jury apparently was unable throughout the penalty phase to make eye contact with Peterson. They didn't look at his mother when she was begging for his life. They just had sort of made a decision long before. And I think more urgently, when they asked to see in their deliberations, the things that they asked to see again and reconsider were things like photographs of Lacey Peterson's body after it washed up on the shore. So they were so horrified by the crime itself, I think that decided this case. They were just not moved by the penalty phase questions about whether this life was worth redeeming or worth having a second chance. They just could not get past the awfulness of this crime.
I'm curious as to your opinion about the news value of this story. It has been all over. It's been on radio. It's been on the front page of newspapers, on television quite a bit. Are people really this interested in it, and if so, why?
I think some crimes just achieve that status by virtue of the fact that he was handsome, his wife was beautiful, he was having this sordid affair with a massage therapist, there was a pregnancy involved. In other words, this just could have been ripped from the soap operas. And it's also important to understand that covering a trial like this is cheap and easy for cable news. All they need to do is park a truck outside the courthouse and have people talk endlessly about what went on inside.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick, who writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thank you, Dahlia.
My pleasure.
And that interview by Day to Day's Noah Adams.